Welcome to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Elizabeth and I am an alcoholic.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Housekeeping, we will only be recording and publishing the audio portion of this meeting. You can sign up for email or listen to previously recorded meetings on our website at simpleactions.net. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, are there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. Do we have anyone in their first 30 days? Great. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present, please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that the book Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism based on simple actions. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA simple action. The AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10. Please welcome our panel. We have the lovely Ebony and David. I will read the first paragraph on page 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So step 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. We'll have Ebony first.
All right. Hey, y'all. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Ebony.
Hi, Ebony.
Let's see. The last day of a drink for me was Friday the 13th, November 2015. I have a sponsor who's aware that she sponsors me. I have the privilege of sponsoring men and women by taking them through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous using the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous that I'm kind of obsessed with. I love this book, and I'm just putting that out there because I'll say this is my favorite part about a million times tonight, so I apologize in advance. I have a home group, Westside Young and Sober. We meet Tuesday nights, 7:30 on Zoom. And I have, let's see, what else do I get to do in AA? Oh, I have a service position in my home group and outside of my home group as well. Just getting that all out of the way. I am a drunk, period. And so I saw people do that before me when they would speak. So I do it now because apparently it's just what I get to do. You know, I get to be a part of. And so I'm going to jump into this. This is my like probably one of my favorite readings. There we go. First, said it already. I call this the chapstick step. So I'll tell you guys why. I call it the chapstick step because I can't concentrate if my hands are dry or if my lips are dry. And I am upset. I have car chapstick, purse chapstick, gym bag chapstick. I use it all the time. And step 10 is one of those steps that I get to use all the time. It is not one of those, when I go to bed at night, as I lay down, I do my 10th step. No, I've been taught, and I use it immediately as I'm going throughout my day. And so I love the verbiage of this whole paragraph, you know, just thinking about some of the words immediately, quickly, resolutely, vigorously. I don't like those words. You know, I don't like to jump into action. I don't like to immediately admit my wrongs when these things crop up. You know, it tells me immediately right here that I'm still going to have these life problems. I'm still going to be selfish. I'm still going to be dishonest. I'm still going to have fear. Just because I've worked the first 9 steps doesn't mean that those things vanish. It just means now I have a way of life and a way to live and a way to go about cleaning these things up. And so as I look in here, I hate the word continue. You know, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous thinking these 12 steps were going to be a checklist, one and done, and then walk out the door. And it tells me right here, this is the perseverance. This is where I get to do stuff when things are hard. This is where I get to continue over and over again. And so I read this and I love and hate it because it holds me responsible. You know, it's easy for me to say, I practice these principles in all of my affairs. It's more difficult to say, you know, I was dishonest today. You know, I was full of fear this morning. You know, so I love this promise that I've entered the world of the spirit. And it tells me exactly what my purpose is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. You know, this paragraph to me is like, so I work with numbers for a living. So it's like a data collection tool. You know, how do I grow in effectiveness and understanding? By being rigorously honest as I answer these questions throughout the day. You know, where have I messed up? Where have I stumbled off the path? Where do I owe amends? And it's a checklist. And so I read this and I'm going to restate it again. When these crop up and clear cut directions right here, the first thing I do is I ask God at once to remove them. That's not my go-to. When they crop up, I try to figure it out. When they crop up, I try to figure out how I can manipulate it, how I'm being a brat, what's going in my life. It's a nice reminder to pause and to ask God to remove them. And then I get to talk with someone immediately. And it does not have to be my sponsor. You know, I have a network of people inside the fellowship, but also outside of the fellowship. You know, I can talk to my siblings about it. I can talk to my best friend about it. I can talk to my sponsor about it. You know, I can talk to my roommate about it. And I wish I could say I welcome the feedback I always get. I don't. I hate being challenged, but it's nice. I need an outside perspective, you know, because I get blinded by what's going on. And so when I talk to someone about it, I get this outside perspective. But I had to go to God first, and then I go to someone about it. And then here it tells me, I get to make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. I'd rather wait 36 hours, or I'd rather wait for you to forget and then kind of casually bring it up. I wish I could say I do this 100% exactly as it's written in the big book. I'm not one to immediately go through it. And this is why it's really important that I don't wait until I'm going to bed at night, because I might be going to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. And that's been 13 hours since I owed you an amends. You know, I walked into the classroom and I've had no coffee and I've already like been snippy and snappy at my co-teachers. And then I love this call to action, because the book tricks me on every page, a call to action. Then I resolutely, and I wrote right next to it, bold exclamation mark, I resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Love and tolerance of others is my code. And I learned that prior in the other steps. I get to let you off the hook instead of saying, well, I acted like this because you did that. You know, the love and tolerance for me is, you know, you are having the same day I am. You're living a rough life just like I am, or maybe you're having a great day just like I am, but I get to completely let you off the hook and take complete responsibility for my action, you know, and that's how I grow. I get to collect the data and I get to take it to God and I get to bring it to God's kids and I get to do a little bit better, but I'm going to stop. Thanks for letting me share.
I was hoping to listen for another four. Everybody, I'm an alcoholic. My name is David.
David.
I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be sober tonight. I'm grateful to be sitting at this table at my home group next to one of my favorite people, next to two of my favorite. I also have a sobriety date. It's October 24th, 1989. I was 28 years old when I was separated from alcohol for what I hope to be the last time. I met you guys when I was 22 years old, but I had a lot better ideas. I describe myself as a reluctant member of Alcoholics. I did not roll in here and take a look around and think, hey, this is a sparkling little program you got here and you stuck numbers on it for stupid people and everything. You know, it's just, this is great. Where do I sign? I can't wait to get started. Now, I kind of felt sorry for you guys. And I spent 6 years trying to make things not true. See, when I say that I'm an alcoholic, what I mean by that is that I've got that thing where I take a drink of alcohol, I get thirsty. Now, I may handle that night perfectly well, or it may go completely off the rails. The point is, I don't know what's going to happen other than there will be more drinking. I never finished a drink and thought, that's cool. That was really satisfying. And now I've got lots of other things to do today. You know, no, once that candle is lit, it burns until it's done. And that's just alcohol. And I thought I was riding, you know, I thought I was in control of that situation. No idea that it was controlling me. And then when that becomes a problem and I stop drinking, I got that thing, I'm carrying around a defective unit in between my ears. I don't know about y'all's, mine's chattering at me all the time, constantly giving me information, talking to me about me, doesn't like me very much, talk to me about you, a little scared of you. You know, yak, yak, yak all the time. And eventually I take a drink. So I am also sponsored. I also have the privilege of sponsoring other men. I can also look in the eye and tell you that I'm involved in all three legs of the triangle of Alcoholics Anonymous today. You know, maybe not tomorrow. I don't know. But today I'm in this thing. You know, I'm an active member of alcohol. It took me a long time to surrender to that. You know, the pitiful surrender for me was I was 6 months sober, 28 years old, 6 months abstinent of alcohol and driving around the city of Norfolk looking for buildings to jump off because I had gotten to the place where I couldn't live with it and I couldn't live without it. I couldn't imagine my life with it, couldn't imagine my life without it. If I'm miserable drunk and I'm miserable sober, if those are my only two choices, you know which one I'll pick for a while, right? There might be one more yeehaw left in there. Get after it. If that's all I got, I've seen enough. So anyway. I laid down, I came into a meeting busted and disgusted. And all I can tell you is somebody welcomed me. Somebody met me at that door, made me feel comfortable, introduced themselves to me, sat me down in a chair, got me some coffee and relaxed me enough to just sit there. I don't know what they said at that meeting. No idea. But I knew how I felt. In fact, I never remember what you say to me, but I always remember how I feel when I'm with you. You know, I like that guy. He shared some great stuff. Yeah, I don't remember that, but I like that guy. Yeah. But anyway, I sat in that meeting. I remember just thinking, I don't have a better idea. I'm just going to do this thing. So off I went and I got a sponsor. The old man told me, just say yes to AA, David. If AA asks you something, just say yes. We already know you don't want to do it. And that's never ill-served me. Just say yes. So I say all that just to say that we've come a long way to get to this thought that brings us to step 10, you know? We've gone through the grinder of alcoholism and the absolute pain and humiliation of that complete surrender. You know, getting to that place where admitting you're powerless over alcohol and that your life is unmanageable is not a happy, joyous day, is it? You know, it hurts, man. It is, you know, and it's been hurting for a long time. And maybe, just maybe, something other than me could restore me to sanity. Maybe, just maybe, if I do what these people do, I'll get what they've got. Maybe, just maybe. And you guys were all living examples to me. I got a yawner already. But you guys, thank God, you ever think about how extraordinary it is that we can come here to this room and listen to people share experience, strength, and hope, and they're living examples of the problem being solved. Living examples. I used to drink like that. I used to think like that. I used to be like that. I used to live like that. And it ain't that way today. You know, it's not theoretical, right? It's living examples. Did I make you uptight observing yawners? Everybody's kind of straightening up a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm withdrawing from caffeine. So I'm a little brain fogged and a little irritable. More irritable than usual. And now I've totally lost my train of thought. So we get to be in here with all these living examples. And it's not theoretical. We just have to surrender and do it. So we've gone through the inventory. We've looked at these things. I found out in that first four step that I'm capable of hating you for the very same thing I'm capable of doing to the next guy, you know? And I went and sat in that woodshed of that first sponsor's house, you know, sat out back there. And I just told him everything that I was going to take to my grave. And guess what? He had done that stuff. He had thought that stuff. He'd felt that way. And I got to leave there and not be alone for the first time in my life. For the first time in my life, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I told somebody else the truth against my own will. I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to do your steps because you told me I'd get better. But then I got to leave from there and be a little bit free. And you guys told me I could pray to whatever I wanted to pray to remove these defects of concern. And I'm starting to get an idea that it's my selfishness, really, not my drinking. That it's like me thinking about me, obsessed about me, worried about me, afraid about me. I don't toss and turn at night worried about you. You know what I mean? It's me I'm worried about. You know, you're going to be fine. My money is screwed, you know? And then I go out and I make those amends and I start making friends with the world a little bit. I start noticing that I can look the world in the eye, that I'm not afraid to go down the aisle in the grocery store and run into whomever, you know? You ever, most alcoholics I know the grocery store avoidance. Oh shit. I was going to get some bananas, but that's off, you know? No. All right. I'm the only one. So anyway, these beautiful promises come true and we read them at every meeting, right? We start to notice a new freedom and a new happiness. Well, the result of the ninth step, right? It'll just magically come down and hey, new freedom and new happiness. Bing. It's a result of the work. And we start to notice that stuff. We start to notice that we're free. Fear of financial insecurity leaves me. I start to see how my story might be of benefit to you. And I start realizing I'm in the right place. So then it finishes with this, they will always materialize if we work for them. This thought brings us to step 10. See, when Bill, a lot of times in the book, when he's setting up a step, he tells you why it's a good idea to do the step. Then he tells you how to do the step. And then he tells you what it looks like after you've done the step. And then in step 10, he just launches straight into how to do the step, because they'll always materialize if we work for them. All these wonderful things that are happening to you from the ninth step. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue. I'll share this if it's useful to anybody, because I love it. I heard an AA say, I'm a CIPAA. I'm a CIPAA because I don't want to be an RIP. And I don't know about you guys, but I hate it when I don't understand something, you know? So like, I didn't know what she was talking about. So just be cool. Maybe she'll tell me. Yeah, and she did. CIP is continue, improve, and practice. In step 10, I continue. Step 11, I improve my conscious contact. Step 12, I think we really, this is my opinion, feel free to discard it. I think we really just shortchange the 10, 11, and 12 step by calling them maintenance steps. My grand sponsor calls them growth and living steps. That's where I want to be. If you're alive, you are growing, right? And I want to grow. So this says to continue, right? Continue to take personal inventory and set right any new mistakes as we go along. It says we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We've entered the world of the spirit. We just got here. We just woke up a little bit. Hey, maybe this thing's working. Maybe I'm in the right place. We just got here. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. It's not an overnight matter. That's a bummer for me. I'm a get rich quick scheme kind of guy, you know, but dig this, man. He says, and these are the specific instructions. None of them say do this at night. You did that subtly. I liked it. Not one place it says do this. Wait till you go to bed to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Well, these are the very things, in fact, the only things that we inventoried in the fourth step, right? When these crop up, we pray. We ask God to remove them. That sounds like 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately. That sounds like step 5. We make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. That sounds like steps 8 and 9. So it's almost like he's saying, hey, bro, you got those ninth step promises for cleaning up your past. Isn't that awesome? You've entered the world of the spirit. Guess what? We're going to keep doing those things on your daily life, because they are going to crop up. I remain to this day, 32 years on the other side of a drink or a funny little cigarette, but I remain prone to fear, prone to resentment, prone to, I like to call it anxiety. My sponsor calls it fear. And then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. How'd step 12 get in there, right? And then he gives me a code to go out into the day, right? Love and tolerance is my code for going to at the end of the day. No, throughout the day, right? And I like to share this because we all know what love is, right? I mean, we all, you don't have to explain love to people, but you guys taught me that love was action. Love was a doing thing, right? Like, I love my kids, you know, I just adore my kids. I could pull the image of my children into my mind and I get a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, you know? In fact, I enjoy that. Oh, they're just delightful. I love my children. Yeah? Did you love them enough to cook them a decent meal tonight before you left for Simple Life? I didn't have time to do that. they're grown. They can take care of themselves. You know, what am I doing for the kids? That becomes the operative thing. What are the actions associated with loving you today? And tolerance, I'm at pains to share this because it changed my life. I always looked at tolerance as endurance to put up with, to just suck on it. I'm tolerating this. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? I'm just putting up with this bad behavior. I'm enduring it. I'm tolerating it. In fact, look how spiritually fit I am. I'm not talking back to that poor sick person, you know, tolerating. But my sponsor said that this idea of tolerance is more like the way that we think of religious tolerance. Like it's our country is founded on this idea of religious tolerance. It is absolutely completely your business to practice your religion any way you see fit, however you see fit or not. And we're proud of that, right? We're proud of that. Can I bring that kind of tolerance to the people in my family, to the people in my home group? Like, it's perfectly okay for you to be exactly who you are without interference from me, my big brain, my little running commentary, my little useful criticisms. Can I bring that? And the other thing that kind of flipped me on that was that tolerance was an effort to understand. You have to make an effort to understand someone. I'm more into making you understand me. It's like, yeah, I get your point, but here, I'm the one who's talking to him, you know, but to understand someone, you have to ask them questions, you know, you have to like, that's an interesting thing you said. Could you tell me more about that little piece? But just to put myself in that position, oh, that's right. I'm here to understand and allow to love and tolerance. So this paragraph, also one of my favorites, I'm going to say something really big here, and it is my opinion. So please, again, ignore it. But I think that these instructions that we just read are the day-to-day instructions for practicing these principles in all our affairs. It just, you know, if I haven't done something like step 1, 2, and 3, I'm not even going to try to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, you know? So basically we've got step 10 is 1 through 9 and then 12 thrown in there. So it really is a very specific set of instructions to practice, and practice is all I've ever been able to claim, y'all, really. I mean, I'm not out here doing this perfectly, but I do notice that the more that I talk to you, the more that I'm in contact with you, the more that I pick up your phone call and ask you how you're doing, the clearer I am about who I am and what I am, which is an absolute hopeless alcoholic left to his own devices will destroy himself. And if I'm clear about that, then I have a tendency to take the actions associated with. On a practical level, this 10th step happens for me on the telephone, you know, most of the time. When I got something cooking up there, man, I either pick up the phone or I dump it on whoever's calling me. You know, and usually we all arrive at the same place. I know I keep threatening to shut up, but we all have sort of the same story, right? The details are different, but most of us have the same story with alcohol, and we have the same story with recovery. And most of the time when I dump a little fear on somebody, most of the cats that are in my life say something like, me too. That happened to me yesterday. I was wrapped up in that very same thing last week. And now I get to not be alone in it. I get to confess it. And then we both sort of get to realize that maybe, just maybe, maybe we need God. I'd forgot all day, and thank God you called me because I forgot, you know. So there's an awful lot in here, man, and it really is a beautiful thing. So I'm hoping to continue and improve and practice. I want to grow. I want to live. I don't want to just survive and maintain. I think that's it. Thanks,
David. We're going to continue on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it. Neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react, so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Ebony?
So I love that we just talked about the ninth step promises. You know, because I thought those were the only promises in the big book, because I would hear all the time at meetings, like the promises. And so I was singularly focused on getting those promises. And then there's this big book thumper, someone who followed the directions of the book, and they would talk about how there are these promises with every step and promises on every page if I pay attention. And so I love these 10th step promises. This is way more extravagant to me than those ninth step promises. You know, I'm the girl that accidentally gets drunk. I'm the girl that's crying in the morning because I don't want to drink, but I have to drink. You know, I'm the one who's always swearing off. And then I'm like, oh, I'm making too big of a deal and I'm drinking again. So every time I read this, it's just like, wow, this is a place I'm in today. I'm in a place, I don't know the last time I cried because I didn't want to drink, but I knew I was going to drink. And if you're drunk like me, that's a big deal. And so I hear these promises, and I love the fact that they're results of doing and following the directions that we just talked about in the last paragraph. You know, I fight everything. You know, I have an idea of how things are supposed to be. I know where you're supposed to sit. I know what outfit you're supposed to wear. I know what time you're supposed to call me. And if you don't call me at that time, then I'm not answering the phone. I know it all. And then I realize I know absolutely nothing, thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's so great. That's the freedom I get to be like, I don't know, you know, but I love this for by this time, sanity will have returned. You know, for earlier in sobriety, it was in terms of that first drink. I'm no longer accidentally getting drunk. I'm no longer feeling crazy because here I am at this point again. I don't know how I got here. There's something must be wrong. But the cool thing is, as I get to grow in my sobriety, the sanity has returned, has grown, and you know, defective relationships with other human beings is a big part of my problem. And today I get to choose my battles. You know, I thought everything was my battle. If you said something smart, like, I was going to let you know. And it's so crazy that today I get to be the person and be like, oh, okay, and walk away, or interesting, and just leave it there. When people ask me my opinion, sometimes I can say, like, it's not important. Like, before, if you asked me my opinion, even if you didn't ask me my opinion, it was coming out of my mouth. And so I love this part, because I was just on the phone, dumping my problems on a protege, a friend, whatever you want to, the big book calls them. and, you know, I love this part because I was like, this was an epiphany I had yesterday. I was like, wow, I get to pick my battles. Sanity has returned in this aspect as well. You know, today I get to act like a mature, responsible adult on accident because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Guys, it turned me into a woman of dignity and grace as a byproduct of following some of these rules. So I love this, you know, and then bringing it back to the liquor, seldom interested in liquor. You know, I like the fact that they use the word seldom. Once in a while, these like fancy drinks come out. Let me tell you the truth. White Claws. I was pissed because White Claws came out after I was sober. I love sparkling water and I love alcohol. So White Claw sounds like an amazing thing that I would have thoroughly enjoyed. Let me tell you, I was interested in liquor. I wasn't interested in drinking, but I was interested. I'm like, I wonder how that'd go. But the problem is, sanity has returned, and I know exactly how that would go. You know, it's going to be crying in the morning again, stealing lottery tickets and cashing them in and walking to Walmart so I can get something in my system. And we recoil from it as from a hot flame. None of this stuff made any sense. And I wish I could be like, oh, I read it the first time. And I was like, great, check, check, check. It worked out. Around 8 months sober, I was living in DC working there, and I went to one of my friend's weddings. And she had an open bar, and it was my drinking buddy. And I went around to everyone and let them know, like, no, I'm sober. I don't drink. No, I'm sober. I don't drink. No, I'm not doing that. Like, they weren't even asking me, and they were not offering me drinks. They did not care that I was sober. They did not care. They weren't interested in how I was drinking or how I was not drinking. I was really proud of myself, you know, because in my head, I was like, yes, look at me behaving sanely. My sanity has returned. Let me prove it to you. But around, I don't know, 3 or 4 years sober, I got to go to another wedding with the same crowd of people. And this time I didn't feel the need to tell everyone. I'm not, like, I was just there to celebrate my friends getting married. Apparently that's a sane way to act, not advertising and being a billboard of like, I don't drink, look at me, give me a gold star. you know, so I love this because I got to see the growth. I don't realize it until afterwards. And that's something else that a sponsor and friends and those outside perspectives helped me see. Because I remember her saying, sounds like a sane and sober way to react to life, sponsor. You know, and so I love this part. And okay, I'm going to go through sentence by sentence. That's also the way I go through the big book. And that's the way I was going through the big book. So I get excited with this. It's kind of short. So you know, and so I love that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle. Unimaginable. Like, it just comes. And I remember thinking, like, no, I worked for this. I worked hard. I did an inventory. I went to meetings. I chaired me. You know, but the truth is, lack of power is my dilemma. Like, I've prayed so much and I was still drunk. You know, I was telling the truth so much and I was still drunk. I was the girl who was waking up in a blackout at the food bank, down the street, trying to give food away with my mommy. And that still wasn't enough to keep me sober. I was working with others. But there's something about taking these actions that just pulled out the rot that was in my soul, that made me uncomfortable in my own skin. The things that made my skin crawl when I was stone cold sober, I do not have the power to take that away. Yeah, I did the inventory. I put pen to paper. Yeah, I set time aside and I read with my sponsor. Yeah, I did those things. I took the actions necessary to empty myself out so that a God could come into my life and that sunlight of the Spirit could enter. You know, and it took a long time for me to see that, because selfishly, I was like, I did all the work for my sobriety. Like, no, it's a gift that I get today. I don't know what step or what day or what hour it happened or what one meeting or what service position it was. I just kept showing up and doing it, you know, because that's what I learned here. And so when I read this, I think it just came. I don't know when. I don't know what I was doing besides following the footsteps that you guys walked before me, walking on this path. And so I love that this is the miracle of it. I prayed so long for free miracle. That was one of the resentments I had coming in here. Like, God, please take away this taste. I don't want to do this again. Give me a miracle. I got baptized for a miracle again, my third baptism. I got baptized asking for a free miracle. But you guys gave me these actions and these things that I could actually do that opened me up and made me able to receive a miracle. I believed that it was going to work for me because it worked for you. I was surrounded by people who understood what my problem was, people who taught me through their own experience what my problem was for the first time. You know, and so I love this. I've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And that really makes me think about the third step and that word care, like to the care of something. I've been placed under the care of a loving God today. And in my head, my guy's always like, oh, Ebony, sweet child, you weirdo, keep going, you know? And I love it because I know who and what I am today because I'm doing this 10th step. And somehow when I think of neutrality, I just see like, you're all right, girl. You're all right, my baby. You know, and I love it. And I don't have to swear it off anymore. I don't have to make those empty promises of I'm not going to do it. I did it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. And then I did it. I don't know what it is. You know, it doesn't exist. I'm going to tell a quick story. I always say this word wrong. Kombucha. Is that the word? Okay. Kombucha. I went to Trader Joe's, one of my favorite places, like 2 years sober, get this kombucha. I'm in the car with my brother, Nate, riding to a meeting. Open this kombucha. It smells straight like alcohol. I don't know. It's fermented or whatever. And I drink it. And then I take the can to a meeting and someone's like, you shouldn't be drinking that. It has alcohol in it. Like they like, ooh, and I didn't know what to do. And I freaked out. And so I leave and I call my sponsor. My sponsor says like, okay, so what were your motives? Were you, I was like, I thought probiotics were good for you. It's good gut health, you know? And she was like, okay, are you drunk? Are you drinking it to get drunk? And this is just my experience. I was like, no, I just thought it was there at Trader Joe's. You know, I love the store. And she tells me like, hey, it sounds like you did exactly what you paused, you prayed, you called and you reached out to someone. Like, no, Ebony, because I really like, I think I need to get a white chip and drink kombucha. I was freaking out, you guys. I was freaking out because I was a desperate drunk when I walked in and I didn't want to accidentally reset my date, freaking out. And she was just like, oh, just like my God, oh, sweet girl. Oh, keep coming back, Eb. And so I think about this, you know, I didn't drink it. And normally I would have been like, oh, they told me it was alcohol and I had to restart my date. I would have been like, F this meeting. I'm going to go get drunk then, like really drunk. If I'm going out, I'm going out hard. But instead I was just like, huh, like what a sane way to react. And I didn't curse that person out. And I never put that person's name on blast. And I still won't, because love and tolerance is our code. you know, but I like it just because I love how it ends. We react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Once again, that reminder, like these are the things I get if I am in fit spiritual condition. And how do I get into fit spiritual condition? It's not an overnight matter. I continue. I persevere. I look out. I pray. I reach out, I talk, I get honest, all of those things in the paragraph before. I'm not scared to go play. I'm not scared to go to weddings. So not for, you know, it's cool. I have a good life, relatively good life. I was being a Brighton car. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, yeah, that's how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And if you're a guy like me, I'm like, okay, how do I do that? And I love that you just pointed out, he just told you how to do that. Go to an open discussion meeting and bring up the topic. How do you guys keep in fit spiritual condition? See how many of them talk about continuing to watch for selfishness, dishonesty. Yeah, all right, it's just me. So I love that it is conditional, that this is how we react. And it also, it's a reaction. Like, all right, let me slow down. The thing about Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps is you guys offer me freedom. It's possible for me to have freedom from the desire to drink, freedom from the bondage of my selfishness, my neurosis, my self-obsession. I can be free of that stuff. The trouble with a guy like me is that I settle for relief. I just get a little cooled off and I'm good. My turn to run the show. I got this, you know? So you offer me freedom. I settle for relief. Relief will kill me. And I love that he talks about it being a miracle, like sanity's returned. You know, I burned myself when I was a kid. I was ironing a shirt and the iron slipped off and I burned myself across my stomach. You ever burned yourself like that on a stove or anything?
Yes.
You ever do it twice? You know, did you need a 12-step program not to burn yourself like that again? No. I mean, there's something natural in me. I have a respect for irons. I've never burned myself out. Note to self, always iron with a shirt on. So that's sort of what it's like. I've had the experience of picking up the wrong drink and getting it in my mouth and knowing that it was alcohol and going, you know, or putting it back in the thing. And that was a reaction. That wasn't something I premeditated. I didn't decide to react that way. I reacted that. It's like a hot flame. This will kill me. I don't want this, you know? And that's the only thing that I want to underscore. It's this new attitude about liquor has been given to me right? It just comes. He calls it a miracle. I'm not fighting it. I'm not changing my people, places, and things. I'm not arranging. I can go down the beer aisle in the store. It's not a problem. I'll tell you a little story about that. I got a bottle. My wife drinks wine, and my wife drinks wine like the bottle has to be thrown away because it turns sour the way that she drinks wine. I mean, it wouldn't be what I would call drinking, you know, but there's wine in that. My mother-in-law comes over, she will finish that bottle, and there better be one there for her. But there's also a bottle of an uncracked bottle of whiskey, of early times whiskey. My father used to drink. And when he died in 04, I don't know, I set up this little like altar, you know, and it included a bottle of early times, you know, and it just sits in the cabinet where the plates are. And it doesn't call to me. It doesn't talk to me. I'm not worried about it. And I don't even think about it. Like I'm not thinking about that boombox on that table or any of those other, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter to me. It's just, you know, it's just part of the scenery. I didn't decide to have that attitude, but that is my attitude. And I never paid attention to it until there was this one mom was coming around to our meetings, and she also had kids, my kids' age. So there was a reason for this alcoholic mom who was kind of investigating Alcoholics Anonymous, trying to figure out if she wanted to be here, was also in my home with our kids playing. And she looked at the thing in the plate. She said, "Do you just keep that there to torture yourself?" And I was like, "What? What?" She goes, "That whiskey." And I thought, "Oh my God, no, I don't keep anything on purpose to torture myself." And I just realized that was perhaps torturing her, you know? But I also like saying, I keep it around for my dad in case he shows up. "Oh, really? Where does he live?" He's been dead since 04. I kind of like saying that to people. But anyway, I didn't decide to have that attitude about it. It just comes, right? I'm not managing it. All I'm doing is trying my best to manage my spiritual condition by taking these actions that we just talked about tonight. And when I am in a fit spiritual condition, when I am right-sized, I know the truth about me and the truth about you and what my job is here, then I'm not interested in liquor. Not in the least bit. And that's not a decision. That's just a report.
Thanks. I too let someone baptize me in their pool trying to get her. Page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are the thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will.
It is easy to let up. Yes, it is. It's like, it's instinctual for me. I don't even realize I'm letting up, you know? So I love that the book tells me it's going to happen. The book, it knew who I was before I got here, and it knows who I am once I am here, you know, because if I'm actually doing this and following the directions, life starts to fall into place. And then I think I'm managing well. You know, it's me. Look what I've done. I'm employed. My parents love me again. I have pretty good relationships with people. I have money in my pocket. All of these things, that all of those outside conditions start looking good again. And that makes me comfortable. And if there's anything I love, it's being comfortable. And so I love how it just right here, it tells me it's going to happen. You know, I think of laurels and I'm obsessed with like Pompeii and all of this stuff. I'm a dork. And so I think about laurels, and in my head, I think about those wreaths, those crowns, those prizes that I get. And it tells me like, I'm going to get these prizes and that's going to be good enough. Why do I want to persevere? Why do I want to keep making strenuous effort? And I love that it tells me that I'm headed for trouble. If I just stop at the shiny things, I get those prizes back and I just lean back. You know, that's part of the reason why I stay in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I am a three legacies kind of girl. I believe wholeheartedly in all three legacies. And the problem with that is that then I feel accountable to you guys. I feel like I need to show up. Once I give my word, I have to be there. And so I think about this because it helps keep me out of trouble. It helps me stay anchored, because if I'm at a meeting and I'm feeling some kind of way, rest assured, someone is going to come up to me and be like, so what's going on? And then I'll say I'll say something and they're saying, what's really going on? I like this. I need this because I'm not cured of alcoholism. I don't know. I'm going to do it. Sorry. I remember when people would introduce themselves as recovered alcoholics and I'd be pissed. Like, are you recovered? Are we recovering? Am I in recovery? But the book tells me I'm not cured. And someone said, like, why don't you look on the very first page, the title page? Like, it says, like, we have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And when I think about that, yes, I have recovered from that state of mind and body, but I'm not cured of my alcohol. And what that means for me today is that I know if I drink, if I put alcohol in my system, I'm going to react just as bad and just as abnormally, if not more abnormally than I did Friday the 13th. So I think about this and I love how it tells me that I have a daily reprieve based on contingent, dependent on the maintenance of my spiritual. I can't live off of, yeah, I prayed yesterday. Yeah, I went to a meeting yesterday. Yeah, I told the truth yesterday. Yeah, I want to say I did that yesterday, but it tells me, you know, I get to stay sober and I get to experience this miracle based on what I'm doing today. Today, I have this delay of punishment. Today, I'm separated from that obsession of the mind. Today, but I'm so obsessed with like tomorrow and yesterday and living off of those things. And then the rest of this paragraph kind of sucks because it's a call to action for me that is very impossible. You know, every day I have to carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities. You know, am I eating right? Am I working out? How am I treating others? How is my room clean? Am I including God in all of my things? That's a tall order. But the longer I stay sober, and we talked about this growth and maintenance, not just maintaining, the more I grow, the more I'm willing to let God into more of the activities into my daily life. You know, the more I start seeing like, oh, I just have fear in relationships. I have fear here too. It makes me more willing to include God. When I'm talking to you and you're like, oh, well, have you prayed about it? No, dummy, I haven't. Okay, I'll call you back after I pray. Those things make me a little bit more willing to include God into all of these activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These thoughts must go with us constantly, not just in the morning when I pray, not just at night, but constantly. How can I be helpful to you? How can I love God's kids? Yeah, I was nice to the people in the meeting, but I don't want to be nice to the bum on the side of the street tonight. No, how am I acting outside of these rooms? How am I acting with my family? How am I treating my roommate? How am I treating my best friend? How am I treating that person who posts dumb stuff that I don't agree with on Facebook? You know, these are the things that have to go with me constantly, you know, and then this is my favorite part. We can exercise our will along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the, you know, for me, that means there's going to be a lot of stuff I don't like. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's inconvenient. There's going to be a lot of stuff that's uncomfortable. And I'm going to have to will myself to do it. But it's amazing. Like when I will myself and I align my will with God's will, I don't get exhausted. I'm not burning myself out. I'm not wearing myself out foolishly. You know, I think it's a great introduction to some other stuff that's coming up. But I love that it tells me, despite what I think, feel, or believe, sometimes I just have to do it. And I'm going to have to will myself to be uncomfortable. I'm going to have to will myself to be a little bit open-minded. I'm going to have to will myself to take the action because I'm full of all kinds of ideas. but it's the proper use of the will. And the more I do it, the more natural. Thanks. Mm.
Yeah, my mind is all over the place. Do I really need to do all this? Do I really need to do this every day? My nature doesn't want to participate. I'm a comfort seeker as well. My nature would just like to have all the money and all of everything that would make me happy according to my little designs. And you guys, you know, you'll be all right. and I did it, man. You know, and I've seen the 30-day version of this, the 3-month version of this, the 30-year version of this. where we get so broken down from our alcoholism and our life is so painful and untenable that we absolutely are willing to do something different, right? That's a horrible place to feel. It's a fantastic place to be, right? So we start doing something different. We start doing these things. And guess what? We start getting things that happen. We start getting free. And then I absolutely want to take the foot off, you know? I busted my ass in Alcoholics Anonymous in 2021. 2022 doesn't care. I did a whole bunch of praying, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday doesn't care. It's like every day, every day. But the version, the model here is we come here broken. We're willing to do something. We get a little bit better. We start running our show again, and then we get drunk, right? I've seen it happen. I've seen that trajectory last for a long time, you know? In my case, I came here, I did the first 9 steps. I got those promises. I leaked away from Alcoholics Anonymous, one commitment at a time. Didn't want to drink, never wanted to drink. Stopped having time for all these things. You know what I mean? I got a little baby at home, man. I got a business I'm running, you know? I'm a fucking citizen. Sorry to everyone. I'm a citizen. I've never been a citizen before in my entire life. I'm paying my taxes. I'm signing mortgages. That's what's up. I'm what's up. AA's great. You know, I'll go back one day. And I leaked away from Alcoholics Anonymous. Never did drink. But that selfishness, that self-centeredness came in, that hypercritical nature, restless, irritable, discontent is a nice way of putting what happened to me. Stone cold sober. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I got an incredible ability to see exactly what's wrong with you. And it would absolutely, I would be selfish if I didn't tell you that thing that you need. Yeah. Yeah. You go ahead and live with that lady for a while. She will leave you. And I got invited to leave. So the marriage fails. The children aren't interested in hanging out with the grumpy old daddy anymore. Business is failing. 14 years sober, thinking about suicide, thinking that looks like a clean way out. I don't know. I'd like to think that I'd get drunk before I killed myself. But I didn't want to drink then either, but I wanted out. So I came back to AA one more time. And my man told me, bro, you got a problem you can't solve. We're going to do these 12 steps. And then we're going to get on with the business of helping other people because that's why we're here. First time I ever heard it. But I started going back through this book with that one thought in mind. So those 9 step promises come true for all of us if we do this thing, this new freedom, this new happiness, it blooms in us. And the trouble is, I say, yeah, I'm good now. I'm going to wrap it up. I'm going to take another 37 seconds. No, I'm going to need 10 seconds.
You got 10 seconds.
Yeah, we're good. That's it. My train of thought is gone. So we got our sanity back on page 84 and we got our will back on 85. It's nice that we got our sanity back before we got our will back. But look at what I have permission to use my will all I want, as long as I'm asking, how can I best serve you? I can do that all I want. All you can eat deal. So I don't get my will back to run my life anywhere in here that I've found. Thank God step 11 comes next. I'm done.
Thank you.
Listen to Elizabeth. She's just like, shut up. Shut up, David.
At this time, we're going to pass the 7th tradition basket. You can also sign up for email on our website at simpleactions.net. We accept PayPal and Venmo. And the 7th tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the 7th tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Are there any AA-related announcements? David has one. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Justin. Thanks, Justin.
Do we have any other announcements? Rick.
Hey, Rick. Thanks, Rick.
And that sparkling event is on August 15th. And there are flyers, these lovely flyers. And there's a bunch of these flyers on that table. So if we could do a little ask of you guys, if you could grab a couple and take them back to your groups, that would really help us. So thank you.
Thank you.
All are welcome. All are people of all stripes.
Anybody else? All right. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Okay. And we also have literature available. It's right over there at the hand sanitizing station. Grab some hand sanitizer and a book if you need one and just let us know. please see me or any other home group meeting member after the meeting. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AAs is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, we will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us or email us at info@simpleactions.net. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. The meeting after the meeting. All are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting. That will be held at Plaza del Sol on 22nd and Colonial.
Ooh, that's close by.
Close by with yummy food. Okay. Closing. Please thank the panel again for sharing their amazing stories. Thank you to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to come up and say thank you to Ebony and David. And Larry has been voluntold to read the last two paragraphs on page 24. Hey, Larry. Thanks, Larry. All right, we're going to close the meeting in place with the Lord's Prayer for those who would like to say it.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Yay!